You're listening to Ink and Paint Girls, a podcast focusing on women in animation, where we explore the ups and downs of making a career for yourself. Today we're joined by Catherine Guger, production coordinator at Pixar Animation Studios. She speaks with us about the giant leaps of faith that she took by moving from Illinois to San Francisco after her bachelor's degree to enroll in a graduate degree program, and eventually how she landed her dream job at Pixar Animation Studios.
My name is Catherine Guger, and I am a production coordinator at Pixar Animation Studios. I'm currently working on a future feature film in the SIM and Crowds department as their coordinator.
What does SIM stand for?
SIM stands for simulation.
Okay, so simulation and crowd. So what's, like, in movies that are already out, what does that entail?
So the SIM department deals with things like cloth on creature or on characters, or particulates in the air, or vegetation movement, things that you don't really notice but are important in the background to make the world more realistic. And then, do you want to know what crowds do?
Crowds, I think, is pretty.
Yeah.
But, so basically, like in the movie Brave, the reason everything was so realistic was because of your team.
I mean, they had help. They helped things. So, like, Merida's hair, or since I wasn't on Brave, I'm kind of pulling at straws, but definitely the cloth, definitely the trees and the movement of any kind of leaves or things like that. I'm sure they also worked on water, any kind of fluid simulations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What films have you worked on for Pixar that have aired?
So my first film was Inside Out, and I worked with the stereo department, which is the 3D team. So they do the 3D conversions for the film after, like, towards the end of the pipeline. And, so that was my first. I also helped on the short Lava, but was no credit on that one. So I was a PA for that.
How come you didn't get a credit on that?
Just because it was very, very early into my hiring and the amount of time I spent on it. There's all kinds of requirements for credits, so.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Yeah. Had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long have you been there so far?
So I started in April of 2014. Sorry, I had to think. I'm like, what year is it? Yes. So I've been there a little over a year and a half.
And you started as a PA, and now you're a production coordinator.
Yes.
Very cool. What does your job overall entail? Like, because you handle a lot of the artists and the business side, correct?
For the most part, more of, like, for me at least, it's interdepartment working with our artists. So a lot of what I do is I manage our database, where we track the shots and their statuses, our fixes, where we make sure the artists are fixing any requests that we get from upstream. I do a lot of scheduling and calendar stuff. I also take a lot of notes at all of our meetings and our reviews. So it's really, I work really closely with our manager for the department, and the two of us are very supportive for the artists and the TDs and our soup.
So is this like a dream job for you?
Yeah, for sure. This was, you know, when you're in school still and your family, you get together at a party and they're like, oh, well, where would your dream place be, you know, in a perfect world? And mine was always Pixar. And I got extremely lucky and I am extremely fortunate to have landed a job there. So it's really just kind of living the dream right now.
That's amazing. And I'm sure it took a lot of work, which we are about to get into. So
yes.
Let's go back to the year you graduated, which was, you graduated in like 2009?
2010. Was my undergrad, yeah.
Okay. So can you kind of just give us what Katie, like, what her thoughts and dreams were at that point? Like, and what you thought your goal was and all those things.
So, okay, so 2010, Katie, was mostly happy to be done with school. I had not been super smart, and I hadn't been applying to many jobs yet, which I realized soon after I should have been applying for a long time. But I ended up going back home, which is St. Louis, Missouri, from Chicago, and I started applying, of course. At the time I did my undergrad was with a general major in film and video with a concentration in computer animation, but I was really interested in mostly actually animating. So I wanted to find an animation job. I wanted to be an animator. And at the time I was applying and, oh goodness, I must have sent out a couple hundred applications. I heard back from few, if any, and nothing panned out for a long time. I was fortunate. I started doing some freelance work with a e-learning development team. So I was making small, like, learning animations for medical reasons, and it was interesting, but I learned way more about everything in the body than I really wanted to, and it really wasn't what I wanted to do, but it was something, so I was glad to have it. So that was me, like, immediately post-school, and then I was home, or at least not living at home. I actually had moved in to help take care of my grandfather for about 2 years. And I realized that nothing was happening and I was in kind of the wrong location for things. There's mm-hmm. not much in St. Louis. If I was going to find work, I realized I needed to be closer to where the industries were, which meant in my mind, either of the coasts, or maybe even there's some stuff in back up in Chicago or back down in like Texas. So I started thinking about how I could make that move and how I would do it on my own, which was probably, like, the most terrifying part of it. And then that's when I started going to these gatherings called CTN, the Cartoon Networking Expo. Yeah. Something like that. Have you heard of that?
I have, and I can't remember what it stands for.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just like, CTNX. That's obviously what it is. It's like cartoon and creative talent. Creative talent Network Expo.
Yeah.
And that's in November.
Yeah, so I went to that the second year it was running. So I can't remember. I think that was only like within a couple months of graduating.
Mm.
So I went to the second year of that, and it was really awesome. But I went there with my animation reel, and, you know, it was a lot of great information. It was very interesting, a lot of, like, networking opportunities, but nothing really panned out for it. I didn't get picked for the interviews or anything. Mm-hmm. I showed some people my reel, and I got some great feedback. So I decided, you know, okay, great, I'm going to go back. I'm going to just work on my reel and keep doing my freelance stuff. So I went again the following year, and that time I was looking at some school booths, and I started looking at a school out in San Francisco called the Academy of Art, and I decided that that might be a good gateway to get out west. And let's see, like, what was my timeline? So that was about within 2 years of graduating.
Okay.
I had decided that I was going to go back to school. I was going to get my major in computer animation. And my primary goal was finding a job, not so much finishing the major, though that was, of course, you know, if I'm going to spend all this money, I'm going to do this. But I really just wanted to find a job. So I worked on my reel, I sent in my application, and I was accepted, and then I made the move. So it all kind of happened within a period of 6 months or so. I decided to move out west.
Wow. Like, so, I mean, getting up the gumption to, like, make a decision, like, go back to school, like, alone is a lot of, it just takes a lot of thought. Kind of what, at the time, was your options? I mean, obviously one was stay in St. Louis and seemingly have the same outcomes, or move to San Francisco to do this master degree.
Yeah. And I did do a lot of thinking. Like, there was a lot of talking with my family and with my parents, you know, if I was going to do this, it was going to be, I was going to be alone. I didn't have any family out in San Francisco or anywhere near San Francisco. So there was definitely a lot of thought that went into it, you know, and there's, on top of being alone, there's also the financial, like, how are you going to afford this? You know, you're going to have to find an apartment. I thought about doing an online degree, mm-hmm. but I realized when I was thinking about that there really was just, I could get the degree, but I wasn't going to be any closer to the industry. You know, I'm still half a country away.
Yeah.
So there was definitely a long period of like, are you sure? Are you really, really sure that this is what you want to do? Mm-hmm. And in the end, it was.
Very cool. So when you moved out to San Francisco, you were alone. You moved out here all by yourself. Did you have any crazy roommates?
I actually did not. So when I made the decision, I was going to come out on my own. And I was decided I was going no matter what. And then I had one of my best friends from undergrad who really wanted to get out of school, out of where she was. And I was told her, I'm like, hey, I'm going. You're welcome to come with me. I'm going no matter what. And in the end, she decided to come with me. So
that's
I didn't end up alone. I made the decision to go alone, but I did end up with a great roommate, and we are still roommates. And yeah, so that was also a very lucky and perfect kind of scenario.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so fast forward, you're in your master's program. What kind of were you doing? Were you just studying really hard, doing your homework and all that? Or were you also like networking on the side, or what was your hustle like?
So I went in as a part-time student, because for the one part I continued doing my freelance stuff while I was out here. So timing, I just didn't have the capabilities to do whatever it is now, 40 hours a week for school. So I was a part-time student, and I was trying to get my major in computer animation, and I realized within like the first 2 months that this school has hundreds of animation students, kids who are great and were better than me. And, you know, so it was a lot of going to class and seeing these kids and how amazing they were and thinking, oh man, I either have so much work to catch up, or maybe I was thinking to myself, I was like, maybe this isn't exactly where you should be. So the first couple months of school, at least, where there was part-time school, there was part-time freelance, and then there was part-time realization that this was not the right path.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of came along. So I was going to classes, and so that came along. I was going to classes, and within 2 months, I had kind of realized that it was not right. It didn't feel right anymore, and I started talking to some of my counselors. And I had mentioned to one of them, I had done I was producing and directing a short film in our undergrad class, our final film, which is a big film where 16 students get together from both computer graphics backgrounds as well as traditional drawing backgrounds, and they create like a 7-minute short. I'm sure you did one yourself.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, so I was the producer-director on ours, and it was a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed every aspect of seeing kind of the minutia of a film. and seeing the departments that weren't really necessarily connected to animation, so like the storyboarding and the script writing and the voice acting. So being involved with that was really, really appealing to me at the time. So flash forward 2 years, and I'm in class, and I'm like, I think I should be in production. And I went and I told a counselor that, and she was like, okay, let me get you in touch with this one of our heads of animation who also deals with a lot of the production students. And she did, and she got me, and I met up with him, and he sat me down, and he like asked me 3 questions, and I was trying to think of what they were today. And I know one of them was about, like, if you sit in front of the computer when you're animating, do you look at the clock? And I was like, yes. And he's like, okay, when you're working on a project, do you think just about the animation or do you think about the overall? And I was like, the overall. And there was one other question, and immediately he's like, you're a producer. I was like, okay, let's do this. He was just very, very, like, enthusiastic about it. And so, yeah, he definitely was what got me into at least that track at school.
That's a wonderful way to figure it out, asking those 3 questions. I wish you remember the 3rd one. Sounds amazing.
It's kind of driving me crazy that I can't. It definitely had something to do about, maybe it might have been like, no, that was the time when I was thinking maybe like if you lose yourself in a project or, oh, dang it, I wish I could remember. Or maybe you could say there were 2 questions that he asked.
Okay, so, you know, back at Columbia, where we went to school in Chicago, they didn't really have any animation production classes other than, you know, the capstone where you make a film with everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's not really, production's not really a thing you learn, like, primarily. It's right. Always secondary. Mm-hmm. Was that the same thing at your master's?
It was. So their production course or focus was very, very new. I was one of the first couple of students that had come to them and specifically wanted to do production. And so they were still developing kind of the curriculum of what a production major would be. Hmm. So a lot of what my career while I was in school was them kind of like, you know, they need some production help in this class. We're going to put you in this class and give you a credit for this class, but you're going to do producing stuff. You know, it's like, here, it's an animation collaborative class, but you're not going to be animating. You're going to be helping with producing. Or it was, they had this really great setup, which is part of one of the big reasons I accredit to a lot of my credit time working on short films was a production class called 400A, where they brought in independent films who couldn't afford VFX or CG work, and the students would help on them in exchange for credits and real work. So I got involved with that class very quickly. Yeah, so they got me in touch with the 400A class, and that out of that class, they started developing this production curriculum for, now they have a very big group of production students. I think it's up to 20. At the time, there was like 5 of us when I started. So this class was, so 400A, like I said, it was a class where they brought in independent films that couldn't afford the VFX on their own or the CGI, and the students would work on them with the, you know, they got to be very involved with the directors and the producers and people who were already working on the film and had much more experience. So they got that kind of experience in exchange. They could also put the work on their reel, and they get credits in the film. So I started working on that, and within like a month of me joining this class, and they got me in this class really early, so within maybe 4 to 5 months of starting school, I was working on about 4 projects that would later I would get accredited and add to my resume, which was just amazing experience in and of itself. One of the films I ended up working on went to Sundance recently, Advantageous. It's been doing very, very well. And then I did another one that went straight to DVD, and so that was kind of like first big feature film. That was fun. And I had a couple other short films that were really amazing as well. So it was a big, like, plethora of different types of project, but still very, like, involved.
That seems like a really beneficial scenario, just because, like, you know, you're being a college student, you're going to get asked to do a lot of work for very little pay or no pay at all, you know, for good exposure, they say. Mm-hmm. And it's so much safer to do it through a class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's definitely, like, a bit of politics to that. You're like, is that really, you know, is that right? You've got these students who are in this class, and you're essentially getting free work from them for their class. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no student in there was required to take it. They could, this was a choice they made for exchange and for exposure and for just learning how to work in a real production environment, which is incredibly beneficial to a student who really, like, unless you're in something like this, you're just not getting that production experience.
What would you say the difference is between getting that experience versus, like, working on your own project?
Mostly I would probably say the biggest difference is the collaboration. Because there's definitely students who are, were working on their own projects, and they're great too. There are some really amazing student films that were coming out of the school, and a couple I worked on too. But when they're working on their own project, they're a director, they're a lot of the times, unless they have production house, they're also producer, they're artist, if they're, you know, they have to animate on it, they're sound artist, they are editor, they're just everything. They have so many different hats, and, you know, that's great, that's fine too. A lot of people love that and they thrive in that. But when you're working in this class, at least, or on any major film or minor film or any collaborative project, really, a lot of the times you have to put aside some of your own views for the better good. And learning that, you have to, it's kind of, some people can find it as a hard thing to learn right off the bat. But when you're working in a collaboration, you have to really put aside not all of your own needs, but a lot of your own wants for something that's not your specific project. And you have to learn how to work with a group of, it could be 5 people, it could be 30, it could be, you know, 1,200 people working on one project. But learning the fact that, or just getting involved in something that's not specifically, doesn't specifically have your name in the title sequence as director, I think is a great life experience for a student, just because if this is the industry you're going in, a lot of the times you are working on other people's visions, and you need to know how to process feedback that you're getting in a collaborative, or you need to know how to work with a team. And I think that this specific class was really good about that.
That's very well put. Okay, so how did you end up getting a call from Pixar?
So I had applied throughout my various years before I attended the school, and throughout, I had applied to Pixar probably about 6 times and never heard anything. I always got the very nice wordly letter, thank you so much for your interest, but we don't currently have a position for you, please apply later. So that had happened about 6 times. And then one of my teachers, I was in this class, and it was one of those, this is a student film, but they need some production help, so we're going to put you in there, and we're going to have you do, like, some PA work for the class. So I had been in this class, and the teacher came up to me around Christmas, like right before our break, and he was like, the deadline for the internship application for Pixar's production ends tomorrow. You need to apply. And I had been just so involved in school stuff and life that I had not even realized that their deadlines were coming up or even that their production internship had already been applying. I was completely unaware. And so I went home and I wrote my cover letter and I edited my resume and I sent it off with a couple hours to spare on their deadline.
Nice.
And I was just like, okay, this is never going to happen. You know, like there's no way. I just threw this together. You know, I had this cover letter that I'd been working on for a long time, but I took it and I scrapped it and I re-edited the whole thing. And I was like, okay, well, it's a huge launch shot, but you know, why not? But, you know, what's it going to hurt for me to try? So I go home for Christmas and I'm on a plane on my way to my home and I think I get off in Phoenix and I have a phone call and it's from the Pixar people. And they're like, hi, you know, we're really interested to speak with you about this. Please, you know, reach out to us when you have a chance. And I was like, what? This is not a thing that just happened. I freaked out a little bit in the airport. So I'm in the airport and I went into one of like the little shops and I called them and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm on a plane. They really wanted me to come in the next couple days because they really wanted to find they were trying to find these positions really quickly. The internship was supposed to start like the second week of January and it was already, you know, 2 weeks out. Mm. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I just got on a plane. I'm on my way home for the holidays. You know, I can't come in right now. And they're like, well, you know what? We're going to do a Skype interview. How's that sound? I'm like, yes, let's do it. And so we did that while I was home. They called me back in for a second interview once I got back in the first week of January. And then they called me a week later to tell me I didn't get it. Mm. Yeah. So that was...
That is not where I thought that this was going.
No. So they called me and I was home and of course I was heartbroken, you know, they're like, but they did tell me and I didn't know how to feel at the time, but they told me, you know, we are very interested in you. We like you a lot. We just don't have a spot for you right now, but we are going to keep your name. And if anything comes up in the future, we'll contact you. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm sure that's just something they say to people who they interview a couple times and they don't get it. You know, that's just one of those lines that they tell everybody. Well, flash forward like 4 or 5 months or so, they reach out again and they're like, hey, so remember that time when we said we would call you? We're calling you. We have another PA position open. We'd like you to interview. And I was like, oh, okay, sure, let's do it. You know, at this point, I'm like, okay, don't you dare get your hopes up too high. You know, it happened last time and you didn't get it. Just keep focused. And so I went through the whole process again. I went through interview one, and then I went through, they called me back for interview two. And then while I'm at interview two, oh no, wait, was it interview two or was it interview three?
Wow, that's a lot of interviews.
No, it was just interview two. I'm like, how many times did I talk to them? I definitely only talked to them twice for interviews. Okay. I know, it was kind of, at that point, I'm like, I had talked to, their interviews were like 2 hours long with 9 different people, and it was a long process, but...
Is it like with the whole department? Is that why there's so many people?
No, it was, so the way they were set up was they were bringing in different production people to talk to me from different shows and different departments and just to, I guess, to try and find everything that needed someone to help. They were trying to find a good fit for those departments.
I see.
During my second interview, they tell me, they're like, you know what? We're not sure if you're going to be a good desk PA, which is what I was interviewing for. And I was like, oh, you know, that was like, no. But then they were like, but we do have this tech PA position open and we'd like you to talk to them now if you have time. And I'm like, yes, let's do it. So I did end up talking to them and it went very well. And another week later, I got the call that I had gotten the job.
Nice. So you got the job for the tech PA.
Yeah, it was working with the stereo department. Mm-hmm.
Is a desk PA one that's like mostly at a desk instead of running around talking between?
The desk PAs are what they call So every show or every feature has a desk PA who works up in the prod office, and that they are very involved with things that are happening show-wide. So if any department needs any kind of help, the desk PAs are there to help. If there's any kind of planning department with multi-departments for, I don't know, like parties or things, or if people need help in their department and they're just short on help, the desk PA is there.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to repeat this to make sure I got it.
Yeah.
So the desk PA is more like feature-wide, like anything anyone needs from any part, any department of the feature. And what you ended up getting was a specific department. So you focus on the department and what they're doing in their schedule. Okay, got it.
That's right.
Okay, awesome. So, I mean, backing up just a little bit, I mean, how did it feel to, like, go through these interviews very positively, like, with very positive outcomes in terms of how they felt about you and, like, and, but you still didn't get it? Like, like, what did that do for you?
I mean, it was definitely devastating at the time. Like, there's no denying. I was super upset when I didn't get it, just because I felt really positive about it, and, you know, it happened so quickly at the time that I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, this is amazing, and then they're like, oh, sorry, but, you know, no. There was definitely, you know, I had the moment of, there's some tears, and then, you know, I talked to my mom, of all people. She's kind of my sounding board on all things life. And she was like, you know what, just, you know, you got to keep going. You got to keep moving forward. It's okay. There's going to be other opportunities. So after that happened, it was really more like, okay, you have to just let it go. And you have to keep working on, I was working on 6 different projects. I was like, you can't stop life because you didn't get this job. You have to just keep going forward because someday you want to get a job. And to do that, you have to finish what you started.
Mm. So by the time you got the offer, were you still in your graduate program?
I was, yeah. So I was about a year and a half in to my, my master's program, but I was also going only half time. So I was a little, under halfway through, probably about a third of the way through. I still had over probably about 2 years left of my program.
And did you drop out?
I went on hold. I guess I put my degree on pause. You could do a hiatus. With the way the school works is you can go on hiatus for 2 years.
Okay.
In which case you're free to come back and just continue from where you were. Or if you don't come back, you have to reapply. At this point in time, I am not currently planning on going back, at least not anytime soon. I think if I had been closer to graduation, I would probably have completed it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least done, you know, online classes to get it done. But because I was still 2 years out, I have made the decision not to go back at this time.
Now that you're, you know, in the studio and you've gotten to, you know, meet more people and hear their thoughts and stuff about, you know, how to get jobs, do you think that having a master's degree is helpful from what you've seen?
Honestly, from talking to other people in production, I've heard probably a good handful of people who were in kind of the same position as me, where they were getting their master's or they were halfway through the degree and then they got the job and they never looked back. So on the one hand, I would say if I hadn't gone and started getting my master's, I would not have had all of the opportunity to work on the films, which gave me a great resume, which, you know, all these credits and all this experience, which in turn, I'm sure got me looked at Pixar and got me the job because I had the experience. So there's that. If I hadn't done it, I wouldn't have it. But now that I do have it, I'm getting just as much experience, more experience than I ever could being in a classroom.
Yeah.
So I just can't see myself ever going back.
So when you interviewed at Pixar, you had to go on campus, right, for, like, the non-Skype interviews?
I did. Now, they have been lately much more open to interviewing people through Skype or phone or anything, just because they definitely hire people from all over the world. But because I was living in San Francisco at the time, it was preferred that I came in for face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, although they do hire people from all over the world, do you think that that location helps tremendously?
Me in particular? I'm not sure, because I know that they are bringing in people for production even that are from the East Coast, they're from the South, they're from Midwest. I think, for me at least, personally, the location helped me because I was meeting the people, I was making the connections that I wasn't making farther away. Mm. I would also lean towards saying that being closer is a plus just because of access. And I mean, while they are definitely hiring people from all over the world, there is a good majority who are from the West Coast or who are from close enough that, you know, moving them, uprooting their lives and coming out here is not a big deal. Hmm. But, you know, I'm not confident in saying that the location for Pixar, at least, or for any big studio is the biggest deciding factor for anything.
Hmm. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
When you went in, like when you first stepped on the Pixar lot and you were getting ready to go into the interview, can you kind of talk about how you were feeling?
Oh God, I was so nervous. I was shaking, and I was like, there's that moment where you go through the gates and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then you get out of your car, if you park, and you're walking up, and it's just like, what am I doing? Like, this is absolutely crazy. I'm going to say something insane or wrong. And, you know, it was so nerve-wracking. But I think it was very nice, though, after, you know, there's the nerve-wracking when you're sitting in the room waiting for people to come in, and then you start talking to them, and they're normal people. So there's that. So it starts out really, really nervous, and mm-hmm. eventually you calm down, and you take a breath. And even, you know, all the people interviewing are like, we know everyone's nervous, so it's no reason to be nervous. You're fine. Let's just talk. And it was. It was very calming after you started talking to people.
Nice. Did you get a sense of, like, that you belonged there or that you wanted to be there for a really long time, even before you, you know, had the interview?
Oh, yeah. I don't know before the interview, but once I started talking to the people, they were amazing. They were very, very down to earth and nice and welcoming and open. And I was like, oh my goodness, I could see myself being here and being so incredibly happy to be working with these people. And it's like that now. I'm so happy. And I really do love all the people that I'm working with now. And I would love to stay.
How do you feel? Because I work in TV and we're basically show to show. That's kind of how feature works, right? Where you're like feature to feature.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of the times you'll be on a run of show, which is you'll just be working on one show. And then once that show is over, they will find you another spot on a different show normally. That, at least for the most part, that's how things work.
Yeah. How does that make you feel? Like, cause there's always that slight chance that there won't be another show to move us onto. Like how does that make you feel? Do you have cause I know you haven't went through a hiatus yet, but like, do you have any thoughts on it?
I mean, it's definitely in the back of your mind, I think, and I think this is normal for anyone who works in this kind of environment, that, you know, what happens if there's not a space? You know, what am I going to do? Me personally, I think if I really thought about that all of the time, and if that's the way I lived my life, thinking that, oh my God, I'm not going to have a show after this one, what am I going to do? That I think I would miss out on a lot of really great things happening, like, currently. So I personally just don't, I try not and think about it too much. You know, I have to have faith that if I'm doing well and if they like me, they're going to keep me. And if they have a place for me, they're going to put me in a place. And if they don't like me, or if I'm doing something wrong, they're going to tell me and give me a chance to fix it before they do send me away.
Yeah.
So personally, I try not to think about it too much, though I know realistically I should put a lot more thought into it. But I think as a life motto, that's just not really how I live.
Yeah, I think that's good. I don't know, like, so I think sometimes thinking about, like, the hiatus that is inevitable sometime, mm-hmm. you know, I think it could really hinder your performance.
Agreed.
I think I definitely think about it a little too much, and I don't need to. But, like, I don't know, you're right that it's, like, in the back of your mind, and it's like, what would I do? But at the same time, you should really just focus on now and doing a good job, like you said.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it, really. If it happens, it's going to happen, and nothing, we could be the most amazing employee in the world, and nothing we do is going to change the fact that, you know, the hiatus or the cancellation or something happens and they just don't have a spot anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also helps now that we have the experience and the know-how to go out and to interview again, to reapply or to work on our own projects or something while we readjust our lives.
Yeah. So you've been working at Pixar for about a year and a half now. This was your first studio job, like, that wasn't through a school. If you could time travel and go back and tell 2010 Katie any words of wisdom, what would it be?
Okay, if I had to go back in time, or if I was able to go back in time, which would be amazing, by the way. If I had this power, one, I would go back and tell Katie, absolutely never give up. Because if I had given up after that first rejection, I never would have been where I am today. Then I would have been like, once you don't give up and you land the job or any job, one, you need to be able to, one of the biggest things I have taken away from this and one of the biggest parts of the studio is being able to collaborate and work with others well, to always stay positive when you're doing it, because a lot of your own feelings are transferred to your team, and having a positive workplace is just essential for this kind of film where you're working on with these same people for upwards of, you know, it could be up to 4 years. And then you have to be willing to do anything, really, and not in, like, a negative, like, oh, go and be crazy and be, you know, like, conniving. No, not like that. Mm. You have to really be willing to give a lot of yourself to a team in which a lot of your time, a lot of your effort. Like, sometimes we have days where we're like, okay, we really need a break. Let's go out. You know, Katie's going to go out and get smoothies. So yeah, I'm going to make a run and I'm going to get smoothies for a team. Maybe I don't have a lot of time during that day to, you know, take an hour out to go out and pick up some smoothies, but I'm going to do it because I know that essentially it's going to help in the long run. So you really have to, just be willing to help in any way that you can, because by supporting your team and working well with your team in the long run, it's going to give you in the future better relationships with other people that you're going to be working with. And there's nothing that having a good relationship can do except help you. Does that work?
Yeah. No, it's what you wanted to say. Of course it works.
Yeah.
I definitely think that relationships are so important, because, I mean, in school they're always like, network, 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 and this is how you, you know, do a one-line elevator pitch, and I've not actually had to use a one-line elevator pitch yet, because you just talk to people like they're human.
Yeah, I mean, you really do. If you just treat people with the respect that any person should be treated with, and they're going to treat you with just as much respect. And the more people respect you, the more they're going to want to work with you, and that's nothing but good for you.
Without getting into too much detail about, like, who, what, and where, was there ever, what was your most difficult period while working, and how did you overcome it? And that could be, you know, studio or, like, side projects. Or not side projects, but, like, in-school projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of my most difficult periods was actually on a short film I was working on when I was in school. And the relationship with the person whose film it was, the director / creator, was very caustic.
What does that mean? What is caustic?
They were extremely difficult to work with, and they were people would speak with them, or they would be speaking to other people or artists who were working on their project, and the artist would come away saying, I don't want to work with this person anymore, they're rude, or, you know, they were just not a good people person, which is, you know, like, it's essential in this kind of line of work. But I was working on this project for, oh goodness, 8 months or so, and a lot of my time was spent trying to put out fires between them and the artists, or them and teachers, or anything like that. And I came to a point where I quit, and I felt, on one hand, I felt very, very bad about that, because I felt like I was abandoning artists, and I felt like I was abandoning the show that I had put so much time and effort into. And it kind of felt like a loss to myself, I guess. It felt like a failure. But I made the decision to quit, and I did that because I realized that being involved with this caustic individual was really kind of making me extremely unhappy and making my life extremely difficult in a way it didn't need to be. So what I took from that really is knowing that there comes a time, I'm sure that I might even see this in, like, my future at a studio or on my own projects, but there comes a time when you need to distance yourself and remove yourself from certain people. And it doesn't necessarily reflect badly on you in the end. I don't know if that's so much a life lesson that everyone needs to know, but it was definitely something I needed to go through myself to learn how to get away from that type of situation. Because it very easily could have been that I could have stuck with that and been so incredibly unhappy and still gotten, like, the credit and finished the show and been, you know, like, oh, it was going to look amazing. And, man, I really missed out on that. But in the long run, for my mental health, it was better for me to walk away. And I think knowing when to walk away is a very good thing.
I do think it's a good lesson, because especially right after college, I was just kind of pulling at like strings, just trying to get anything for my resume. And so I would go through all these headaches just for my resume, when mm-hmm. I really should have, just like you, had quit, because, you know, your mental health and your well-being is so much more important than these credits and these, you know, jobs to put on your resume.
Right. I mean, there really comes a time, and I think everyone in this industry needs to know when to say enough is enough, and I need time for me. And a lot of the times we forget that. A lot of the times they're like, oh, but I need a job, or, you know, and yes, that's very important. You know, you have to be able to support yourself, but your health is so much more important than having a job in one of these big studios or working on, you know, one project. There will always be other projects, but there's only ever, you know, like one you in one life. So you have to make sure that you're really living it to the best that you possibly can.
That is beautiful, Katie.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This has been lovely.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is kind of crazy and exciting.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so glad that we did this.
A big hug and thank you to Katie for joining us. As a fellow Illinoisan that moved out to California to pursue the dream of working in animation, I have admired Katie from afar at what she's been able to accomplish. During the hard times when I was still trying to break into the industry and thinking of moving back home, I saw her overcoming her obstacles and staying in San Francisco. It gave me hope. If you're in college or thinking of going to college, really build your network. These people are your peers. They will motivate you and they will keep you on your toes. Don't think of others as your competition. Think of how you can rise together. It may be hard to remember when you start playing the comparison game. Believe me, I've been there too, but we can only try to be better every day. This isn't a sprint. We're in it for the long haul. Animation is an amazing place to be. Thanks for listening. As always, if you have any questions, you can get in touch with me at inkandpaintgirlspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Girls Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.